Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio and Joe DiBiase. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Joe, I was so jacked up for the NHL playoffs and to talk to you about it, I totally forgot that it's Friday and we normally play our anthem, and I instructed Josh Schmidt to play this instead.
I like this.
I like it too, but you know, it's Friday.
Fired up.
And Yep. Baby, we're ready to go. Like, that's normally what we do on a Friday, but that's okay. We are ready to go. Do you know why I'm playing this? Because, Joe, even though it is NFL draft season, we are 1 week away, less than that, from the NFL draft. Mm-hmm. It is also Survivor season. That's right. We have a tournament happening, so now we have to play NHL Survivor. Let's do it. Let's start off right away the Extra Point Show, the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR Sports Radio 550 with NHL Playoff Survivor. Mm-hmm. All right, we have 16 teams, right, in the NHL playoffs, right? 16 teams in the NHL playoffs. We are going to eliminate them one by one, going around the horn here to get to a consensus who we are rooting for to try and win the Stanley Cup. You ready for this?
All right, let's go. I'm ready.
Okay. How about you go first? Who are you eliminating? Who is off your board that you are not going to root for the NHL Stanley Cup?
Root for, right? Not like who we think is going to win, right?
Correct. You do not want to see this team win.
All right. My first pick is going to be the Boston Bruins because nobody likes Boston. Yes. That city doesn't need another championship. They're annoying. I'm sick of them being good. Boston's my top pick.
Yeah, I totally get that. I like it. You know, normally, typically, I'd say I'd go to Vegas here because it's Jack Eichel, but they won it already, and that kind of has been worn off. Now, we'll probably get to them in due time, but I have to jump them now and say, of course, I do not want the Toronto Maple Leafs to win the Stanley Cup just up the road. I mean, come on now. How not fun would that be from Leafs fans not far away, and how fun would it be to, I know the Sabres are not good. They are not the Leafs. I get it. You can tell me that all day long, Leafs fans, but still, for the Leafs to continue this, and to always have the question about the Leafs and what's happening, that's worth it for me. I'm going Toronto Maple Leafs. Go ahead, Josh.
I'm going to go with the Tampa Bay Lightning, mainly because I thought they were going to fall off this year, and they kind of, you know, took that one of the last wild card spots away from the Sabres by still being good for some reason. And, I mean, they've had a lot of success over the last few years. Why do they still need to be in it? Just go away.
I like it. Three Eastern Conference teams so far. Joe, you're up next.
Can I just say real quick, I don't think I would have gotten to Toronto for a while. Is anyone else just, like, sick of making fun of the Leafs for the playoff stuff? I don't want to say sick of it. It's just that I'm not, like, you know what I mean? I'm not craving, like, oh, just let them lose in the first round again. Maybe it's because they're playing Boston. That could be it.
Yeah.
That could just be
what's going on. Well, here, I would tell you this, Joe. I am not sick of making fun of them.
Yeah.
But I don't, like, kind of despise them as much as I thought I would when doing this exercise, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that does. All right, I'm going to select the New York Islanders because if I've got to watch them for 2 months go on a deep playoff run and hear about how they've done it in blueprints and Matt Martin and grit and I can't do it. The Islanders are such a tough watch, and I just don't want anyone to think that is a good way to build your team. So I don't think they're the biggest underdog, I think, in the first round. So I'm not worried about them going deep. I don't want it. I don't want to see it happen. Islanders are the worst watch in the sport. I don't want them to make it.
The Islanders, they actually kick off the NHL playoffs tomorrow night, evening, I should say.
5 o'clock
against the Carolina Hurricanes. You have two games tomorrow. Islanders at Hurricanes and Maple Leafs at Bruins. That one is at 8 o'clock, so tomorrow is when the NHL playoffs begin. All right, I will now go to the West, and I will get to Vegas. It wasn't first on my list, but it's right up there because it's still Jack Eichel, and it's still Vegas, and they're circumventing salary caps again, and I'm just, I don't need to see Vegas win another cup, so I'm going to say, Vegas, get out of here.
I'm going to stick out West with you, and I'm going to take away the LA Kings. They just, I was looking at their stats, and they're just kind of a boring team. Like,
yes.
Their highest scoring player is Adrian Kempe with 75 points.
Yeah.
Like, why are you a playoff
team? An Islanders vibe a little bit to it.
Yeah, they're like Islanders West almost.
Feels like a waste of time.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick Carolina.
Yeah.
Never forget 06. But also, listen, I know they play the Islanders, and I already got the Islanders, but the quicker the Hurricanes get eliminated, the quicker we can talk about whether Brendan Moore's realistic or not, or get some type of information on that. If they go on a deep run, we probably never have the Brendan Moore talk. Sal, if they get eliminated in the next 10 days, I don't think they'll lose in 5 or 6, but they could. And if they do, then what? Now it's, okay, we didn't think he'd be available this quickly. Now let's see what they do contract-wise. Like, it would just accelerate the timeline on whether or not that's a real option for the Sabres head coach. I'll go Hurricanes for the combo of Brendan Moore and also, of course, never forget 06.
I love that reasoning. It's a great reasoning. Mate, you get him out, and now we even have, way more juicy here talking about the Sabres head coach and the guy that I know I want for sure, and that is Rod Brendan Moore as well. All right, so you went with Carolina. I'm going to go with Dallas, another team that the Sabres have a history with and losing, obviously, in a big spot in the Stanley Cup playoffs 1999. I mean, this is a really good team this year. They were the number two team. They won the Western Conference as far as points are concerned. Number two to only the Rangers this year to the President's Trophy. They have a lot of talent, but they're the Dallas Stars. Why would I want Dallas to win anything at this point, especially the Dallas Stars? I mean, Lindy hasn't been there for a few years. There's nobody on the roster. I'm going to be like, oh, I really need this guy to win a Stanley Cup. So I can just say, Dallas, I do not need you to win a cup. You're my team. You're out of the Survivor.
All right.
Do we still have the Washington Capitals available?
I think we do, yeah.
I'm going to knock them out.
All right.
For the same kind of reason as Tampa Bay, where it's like it's another old team. You kind of expected them to fall off. I was kind of hoping that the Sabres would surpass them this year. Also, they had a negative 34 goal differential, and they're in the playoffs. They have less wins than the Sabres, and they're in the playoffs.
I think it was the lowest, the worst goal differential in 30 years.
Yeah,
the playoffs.
And so what is that? Also, their leading scorer, Dylan Strome, with 67 points.
It's not much better.
That's not great at all.
To show you how unlikely the Capitals going on a run is. So, the second, I got Stanley Cup odds in front of me right now.
Yep.
The favorite's Carolina. We mentioned that yesterday. The second worst odds in the Stanley Cup playoffs this run are the Islanders at plus 5,500. Plus 5,500 is second worst. The Capitals are the worst at plus 18,000. The betting odds say they are three times less likely to win the cup than any of the other 15 teams, which is pretty wild. That being said, is Vegas still on the board?
No, I took them.
You took them, okay.
We have, by the way, here's who's left.
Go ahead.
In the East, you have the Florida Panthers and New York Rangers. And out West, you have the Winnipeg Jets, Colorado Avalanche, Vancouver Canucks, Nashville Predators, Edmonton Oilers.
Okay. I am going to knock out the Rangers here for the simple point of the big market. They always steal other teams' good players. It's always their blueprint. James Dolan is the owner. It's very unlikable, in my opinion. So I'll knock the Rangers out here. I don't really have a problem with any of their roster players or anything, but it's the big market part of it. The Knicks are good, too, so you've already got another team that's good anyway, and it's a lot about the owner.
So the Drury thing, Drury and Pekka, does that not get you a little further to maybe I don't want to do that?
You mean in a negative sense?
No, in a positive sense. Were you apprehensive about picking them because of those guys?
Not really. I mean, Pekka is an assistant coach. I don't have any ill will towards him. Drury, it's just always weird to me that he's a ghost. You know? I don't know that he's acknowledged the Sabres' existence since he left. So, I'm not saying I hate him still because he left, but just, you've seen Danny Briere dozens of times in the last 10 years talk about how much he's... All those guys. Dumont has done this, and Miller, and Campbell. Everyone, even the guys that left, have talked about how much they loved those 2 years in 05-06 and 06-07. Go search for Chris Drury ever talking about it in his life. You will not find it.
Okay. I am going to choose... I'm going to go out west here. I'm going to choose the Nashville Predators. I mean, Nashville's got... this like up-and-coming city. Everybody goes there. It's like the bachelorette capital of the world. We love it, right? It's music. Music city. No doubt about it. It literally is music city. Why do I need them to win something here? I mean, I don't have any interest in the Titans winning anything. I don't want to see them holding a cup over their head. And before Buffalo, there's nobody... I mean, Ryan O'Reilly's on there. That's more of a reason for me to eliminate them than to actually want them to win. I don't really care either way, to be quite honest with you. But Nashville does kind of nothing for me, and it would be very blasé, except for, okay, there's another city that's celebrating a Stanley Cup, and I'm sitting here with no playoffs 13 straight years. I'm eliminating the Nashville Predators.
I think I'm going to go with the Colorado Avalanche. Even though Casey Mittelstadt's there now, and we like Casey Mittelstadt and everything.
Yeah.
But the Avalanche have had too much success recently. Like, they got to get knocked down a little bit here, and I'm going to take them off.
Man, I love... Nathan MacKinnon might be my favorite player in the league. Him and Makar. I understand that, though. They also just won, right? So, you know, recency bias. Not recency bias, just the fan base that already has one. All right, let's see here. I'm going to knock out... Capitals,
you
Islanders,
the
Predators, Kings are all
Florida
gone.
Panthers are the only ones in the East left. Then you have the Jets, Canucks, and Oilers in the West.
I don't know what to do with Winnipeg on this front. Winnipeg's had a weird season where they've been great. Like, what'd they finish? Second in their division? Yeah, 110 points. 52, 24, and 6. And they were second worst in the league in attendance by percentage. Like... it was a bad enough point to which Bettman had to fly to Winnipeg to figure out what's happening. And the owner warned them. Like, it's just weird stuff. I don't know, though. Like, what do I want to do with that, Sal? Do I want to blame the fans, or do I want to assume that it's Winnipeg? They must be going through a tough financial time as a city if they're not supporting the Jets. I think maybe I want to lay off them for that and not pick them. Okay, I'll go Vancouver. Vancouver because of style of play. I think they're a little fake. Thatcher Demko, who was an idea I really liked for the Sabres, doesn't matter because Luukkonen played great, has kind of backstopped that thing. I think they play a more defensive style. They've got some fun, exciting players like Hughes and Pettersson, but among teams I would be most interested to watch go on a deep playoff run, I think Vancouver's near the bottom of my list.
Okay. This is tough for me. So here's how it's going to work. I have three left to choose from. I'll eliminate one. And then, Josh, you're the guy that's got to choose which team for us. Like, all the pressure's on you after I get rid of one of these teams, all right? So Panthers, Jets, Oilers. Let me first say, I'd be okay with any of these teams winning the Stanley Cup for all different reasons, and we can explain those as we go through them. But I kind of want to keep the Cup as far away from Buffalo as possible right now and not have to deal with it close to home in any capacity, which has happened here throughout this exercise because all these teams are pretty far away. But you know, really far away is basically Western Canada. So the Jets and the Oilers, I'll keep it out there. I'm going to eliminate the Florida Panthers, and it's not because I hate the Florida Panthers. I'd love to see Kyle Okposo hoist a Stanley Cup. That would be great for him and his career. Sam Reinhart, I'd have no issue with Sam Reinhart hoisting a Stanley Cup. But they're in the East. It's a team that the Sabres compete with. And more so than anything, this is not about the Panthers. I think they're the team that I would like to see in the East more than anyone, so that's fine. This is more about the Jets and the Oilers. Because of all of these teams, there's 16, they're in the playoffs. I'm actually hoping that one of those teams, it would be great if one of those teams could win it. So I'll leave it to Josh to eliminate one of them. But I'll say I'll keep Jets and Oilers on the board. I'll eliminate the Florida Panthers.
See, this is a tough spot because I don't want to go with the, you know, normalcy pick of, oh, Edmonton because they're Edmonton. But like...
Why?
I know, but the Jets, they're fun because they have a good goalie. I'm a big goalie guy. Like, Connor Hellebuyck is just an incredible goaltender. And it'd be awesome to see him get something because he's carried that team for I don't know how many years now. And, you know, they do have their moments where they're like a flashy, fun team. And like Joe said, there's a lot going on right now with that city and with the fan base and everything. And, you know, you wonder what's going on there. So maybe a cup would help keep the Jets in Winnipeg because we've seen them leave before. But, I mean, you cannot deny Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl. Like, I got to go with the Oilers here. There's no other choice besides them. And
Them number one, so you're eliminating the Jets.
Yes, I'm eliminating the Jets. I'm picking the Oilers for us to root for because, I mean, come on. It's Connor McDavid. Guy scored 132 points this year.
I would have made the same decision. Yep. I want to see McDavid win.
No ill will towards the Jets, though. The Jets are great.
Did we all go into this? Let me ask you, honestly, if I went into this and just said, hey, guys, take the 16 teams, who would you like the most to see the Stanley Cup? Are we all taking the Oilers anyway before Survivor and eliminating teams?
It would be between two. And am I just someone that... I think the more I watch sports, the more respect I have for the guys that just do it at the top all the time and how good they are, because it would be between Edmonton and Colorado for me. Like, I think Nathan MacKinnon is my favorite hockey player, and Makar is maybe second. Like, those two, watching them play together, it is, I think, the best watch in... I think the sport in my life, I don't know if I've ever seen it at a higher level, defenseman to center, like those two do. But the fact that they've already won... Yeah, it'd be close. I might end up going Edmonton too. You don't. Jeremy made this point, say last hour, that like McDavid winning. Let's just make sure we never have some dumb conversation in the future about how McDavid's not actually great because he never won anything.
Oh right. I mean, come on. What are we doing?
Right.
I agree.
Let's
with
just eliminate that potential.
He's obviously great. He's one of the greatest already that's ever played. I mean, Austin Matthews is great. I don't care if he never wins a cup. He's great, right? I mean, there's no doubt about that. It sounds like to me, Joe, you, and I totally get this, I'm the same way in a lot of ways, you're rooting more for players than teams here.
I think so. That maybe that's me becoming an NBA fan more over time, because that's the NBA. NBA, it is more than ever. You have your favorite players and those individuals who you follow and root for. Hockey's not to the same extent, but... Yeah, I think I'm more geared that way than I probably ever have been. And I think McDavid and MacKinnon just, like, strictly put, I know Colorado's already won. I know Edmonton, even though it's 30 years ago, 40 years ago now even, has a billion Stanley Cups. But for the next month and a half, who do I want to watch play hockey? Anders Lee? Or do I want to watch McDavid and MacKinnon? Like, I want to watch the greats play. I want to watch the most exciting players in the sport.
Well, listen, it's the same thing for me. Here, I root for players a lot of times in these situations, obviously, because it's just, hey, if the Buffalo team isn't in it, like, who can I get behind that I'd like to see? And we talked about former Sabres like Kyle Okposo or Sam Reinhart. You know, we've seen guys go elsewhere and win cups. But, Joe, as you know, and I'll bring it up, I think a lot of Buffalo should want Edmonton to win as well, because Zach Hyman is a very big Bills fan. He's Bills Mafia all the way. And I'd love to see Zach. And truth be told, I've gotten to know Zach and his family, actually, over the last year or so, because he's a Bills fan, and just some interactions we've had. So I followed his season very closely. Holy cow. 54 goals for Zach Hyman. Now, I get it. That's what happens when you play with McDavid and Draisaitl, and you're on the top line, and you're on the power play with the Edmonton Oilers. But I think that would be very cool. A guy like Zach Hyman, who grew up a Bills fan, he's very dialed into the Bills, you know, draft and everything. We've communicated on that. He told me he wants the Bills to draft a wide receiver. So, you know what, Zach? I want you to win a Stanley Cup. How about that?
Yeah.
I'd love to see that.
Former Sabres to win it. Like, I don't have any, you know, like, special feeling about wanting to see Okposo win it. Reinhart. Maybe more Reinhart, honestly, for me than Okposo. Eichel already has one, and that wouldn't be the answer, obviously, anyway. I don't know. Who's the former Sabre I'd want to see win it the most? O'Reilly already has one.
Linus Ullmark?
Yeah, I mean, the problem there is Boston has to win it. But, right, for the individual, right. Ullmark, among drought-era Sabres, Ullmark's one of the most well-liked. So, that would be a good one. That might be it. There's not going to be many. Middlestad? Middlestad would be cool.
Yeah.
Not like... That's the reason I'd be rooting for Colorado. But yeah, that would be cool to see Middlestad win it.
You know, this gets back to the whole Drury Pekka thing, too, like former Sabres, right? And like, if you want to see them, they're not in there. They're not playing now.
Yeah.
But would you like to see something like that? So, you know, there are a lot of former Sabres that are also in those positions, right? Somewhere around the league, coaching, GM. We've seen that as well. So the NHL playoffs do get started tomorrow, 5 p.m., and then a game following at 8 p.m. Paul Hamilton's going to join us at the bottom of the hour. Joe, do you find it curious at all that we have not heard one thing from an NHL insider reporter, Elliot Friedman? Not that I've seen. I have not seen anything. Maybe you could tell me something different. I mean, Kevin Adams said he had a bunch of text messages on his phone, right? He said, hey, when I leave this press conference, I already noticed I got a bunch of texts on my phone. It was on silent, basically, so I haven't looked. There's a lot of interest in the job. Well, he's obviously talking to people already. Now, he can't talk to anybody currently employed. We get that. But certainly people who are unemployed he could talk to. Do you find it interesting we have not heard one name floated out that anybody, the Sabres have made contact with?
A little bit. I think if it went a little bit longer, then I would be more surprised. Like, if we got through a couple of weeks and there's nothing. But otherwise, I would tend to think if there's only one candidate, in which I thought that was the case after hearing Adams talk on Tuesday, that, you know, might just be harder to report because there's going to be, you know, fewer sources around the league that are talking if there's fewer agents that are connected to the search. There's fewer people in general that are involved. So maybe that explains it. But yeah, it would be if you asked me that same question in a week and we still haven't heard anything, then I would definitely agree.
I mean, we would expect in the next few days, like you said, next week or so, we're going to start filtering names. Are we expecting like surprise names on this list? I think we're all kind of in the same boat. We're going to hear about Lindy Ruff. We're going to hear about Gerard Gallant. We're going to hear about Craig Berube. And these are guys who obviously don't have a job right now. And then you have to wait on, I don't know, did you guys talk about it in here this morning? Is there a thought that Mike Sullivan could be available, and what happens if he is?
I think there's definitely a thought to that. I think if you're the Penguins, you've already made your moves roster-wise. Crosby's not going anywhere, and Malkin and Letang are under contract. So unless you're doing something dramatic there, you just traded for Erik Karlsson. You don't have prospects. You don't have picks. So your flexibility with the roster is non-existent. So what's your move? You got to have something, right? Like, you're trying to go one last gasp. Let's win the cup with Crosby. What do you do? Roster, there's nothing you can do. You don't have your first-round pick. You don't have prospects, and all your guys are locked up. The only move I feel like there really is to make if you're the Penguins is to fire the coach. And, hey, Kyle Dubas is going into year two as the GM or the president of hockey. Right. I think he might have both titles. So does he want his own guy? I mean, I think it's definitely realistic that they fire Mike Sullivan. And Chad DeDominicis pointed this out from Expected Buffalo. Look at all the connections. Jason Karmanos, the Sabres associate GM from the Pittsburgh background. All the analytics guys they brought in. Ventura, who's leading that campaign in the Sabres organization, comes from Pittsburgh. Like, they've, of course, the Pagulas have their Pittsburgh connection. So going back to the Penguins, well, I think makes a lot of sense, especially for that guy because he fits the profile of everything Kevin Adams talked about.
Would you like it?
It'd be hard not to. It'd be hard not. It's credibility, right? I don't even know. I would want to dive more into like exactly how he is as a coach, what type of systems he plays. But on the surface, yeah, it sounds like an awesome idea, I think.
2 years in a row, they missed the playoffs. I mean, is that because they're just aging out? I mean, they were right there both years.
Yeah, they're old and they're thin now, right? Like,
yeah.
Jeff Carter at 40 years old is like playing a meaningful secondary role on that team.
Did you see the video of him the other night after the game?
Did he do the thing where he was like shaking hands with players on the other team after? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
I think he was one of, I'll have to update this. He was one of only a select few players left in the league that had played the Sabres in the playoffs.
There's always that stat.
Yeah.
He blows my mind when you bring it up.
He did it twice. He was on the Flyers team in 11 that the Sabres last had to make the playoffs. He was also on the 06 team as a rookie. Like, go back and watch the Campbell hit, which I think we're coming up in the anniversary of. Go back and watch the Campbell hit on Umberger. The guy that is trying to go after Campbell is Jeff Carter.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jeff Carter. You know what? Hold on. Let me look at... Because Jeff Carter, he had a cup of coffee here, right?
Like, no.
Oh, no. Who am I thinking of? Oh, no. It wasn't him. Somebody else I was thinking of a few years ago. Oh, I mean, Stahl was here.
Eric Stahl?
Wayne Simmons was here. Yes, that's right. Wayne Simmons, because he had a Philadelphia connection as well. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. But the Sabres have had a few of those guys in and out. We have our Paul Hamilton coming in. He's going to be joining us here on the Wester Hotline. After this timeout, we will take a break. We'll get with Paul. We'll ask him about the Sabres head coaching search, where it stands, and what lies ahead. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio, Sneaky Joe DiBiase. It's brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Also today, stay tuned with us. In about a half hour from now, we are going to have safety Micah Hyde join the Extra Point Show. He has his charitable softball game coming up on May 19th. I'm fortunate enough to be the MC for that again, but also we'll ask him where everything stands as far as him and his playing career and his future. That's Micah Hyde, 11:05. Up next, Paul Hamilton on WGR.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, it was the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Before we bring Paul on, I want to apologize. I mixed up the time. I said 11:05 for Micah Hyde. Of course, we want you all here at 11:05. We're going to be talking football. We're going to be talking the draft. We'll kind of go through what said yesterday down at One Bills Drive. But Micah's going to join us an hour from now at 11:30. Micah Hyde at 11:30 a.m. here on the Extra Point Show. Joe, we were just talking about Mike Sullivan. Kyle Dubas is actually doing his presser right now. His end-of-season presser is going on as we speak right now, and there are some quotes coming out from Kyle Dubas about the team, and he said he takes responsibility, but it is his job to evaluate. This was a direct question about Mike Sullivan's job status, and then he said that Mike Sullivan will be meeting, and they're going to have evaluations. All right, so here we go. Could be another cup-winning coach on the market. We'll get Paul's thoughts on that as he joins us on the Wester Hotline, brought to you by Equitable Advisors, thinking about today and planning for tomorrow, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. All right, Paul, well, maybe another cup-winning coach on the market. That would seem to fit the profile. I'm not saying it has to be Mike Sullivan, but it would be a guy who does check those boxes that Kevin Adams talked about last week.
Yes, he certainly would check those boxes. And I look at Pittsburgh, too, and I say to myself, you know, like, you went out and got Carlson. Really? I mean, you've got Letang already. Carlson is a one-trick pony. I mean, I thought it was a huge joke that he won the Norris Trophy, because I think the Norris Trophy should be for a actual defenseman who actually plays defense and maybe plays offense, too. But it seems like whoever gets the most points is the Norris Trophy winner. And, I mean, Carlson's one of the worst defensive defensemen in the National Hockey League. And then Pittsburgh decides to go out and get it. Dubas should be blaming himself. I mean, he didn't help that team at all this year. And, you know, I just look at it, and I'm not sure I'd be blaming Mike Sullivan for the problems of the Pittsburgh Penguins.
That being said, if he does get blamed, Paul, am I right in assuming... Who am I thinking of? Carmanos here, that there are at least a couple guys in the Sabres front office that would have a Pittsburgh connection?
Yes, Carmanos would, definitely.
And Sam Ventura, I know he's one of the numbers guys,
yeah,
but he's from there, too.
Yeah, he's not.
Yeah. But Carmanos is the one.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
But, well,
you know, you remember when Terry Pegula took over, he, like, raided the Penguins.
I mean,
right. That's right.
And really took a lot of people that weren't good people. I was told that Mario Lemieux was, like, laughing at the people he was taking. It's like, oh, yeah, okay. Go ahead. We're fine, type of a thing. So, but he does like to take Penguin people.
All right, Paul. So let's talk about where it does stand then, you know, even independent of anybody who's not particularly on the market right now. When are we going to start hearing things? I just asked Joe a little while ago, is he surprised that we have not heard anyone mention a name of who the Sabres have contacted? Kevin Adams said at the press conference, that he had his phone on silent, but he knew he had a whole bunch of text messages. People are interested in the job. He said when he left there, he was going to start, you know, making phone calls, talking to people. Obviously, those things are happening right now. What do you think the timeline is here from when we're going to start hearing about them actually contacting people, doing interviews, and maybe even getting to the finish line?
He sounded like he pretty much knew who he wanted. I don't know if he did, but he sounded like it at least. So let's say he wanted to make sure that Rod Brind'Amour is actually going to re-sign with the Carolina Hurricanes. Well, if that's the case, he's got to wait till the Hurricanes are done. You know, so that would be... And, of course, I mean, if Rod Brind'Amour is willing, he'd be the number one candidate. And you're going to have to open your wallet to get him here, too, which is he claims that all the resources he needs are given to him. So if that's the case, then money wouldn't matter as far as trying to get him here as the coach. So he would be the number one candidate if he were to become available. And I think Kevin Adams would keep it open until he knows for sure he's not available. So that would be the number one guy. If he knows for sure he can't get him, you know, it might happen pretty quick. Because he made it sound like he pretty much knew where he wanted to go with this. So, you know, I think the names that have been out there are pretty much the ones that, you know, he'd be talking to.
Yeah. So if it starts to become clear, and this would happen game by game, round by round, that Carolina goes on a deep run. They are, by the betting odds, they are the Stanley Cup favorite right now. I think a lot of that has to do with their path. But if they go on a deep run, Paul, like, I don't know, do you think there's a point where Adam says, okay, now it's been a month, now it's been almost 2 months, or do you think if it's still in the unknown, he would take it all the way to the end?
Problem with taking it all the way to the end is people might start getting taken. That you want, like your second choice might wind up in Ottawa. Or something like that. So that's the only problem with waiting. That's why you've got to try to somehow get a gauge. I mean, they're very good friends. Mm-hmm. I mean, Adams is going to Tampa or anything, but, you know, they're very good friends. So Adams might have an idea whether Brind'Amour is going to re-sign with Carolina or not. But if you let it go too long, all of a sudden your number two, three, and four candidates could be elsewhere.
All right, so he might be rooting for the Islanders then in the first round.
Definitely.
Paul Hamilton joining us here on the West Herr Hotline. All right, the initial buzz was Lindy Ruff, Gerard Gallant, Bruce Boudreau, Craig Berube. Has there been anybody else that's kind of come to mind? Obviously, Brind'Amour, guys who have jobs right now. I mean, are we limiting ourselves when we talk, Paul? I mean, you know, could there be other people out there, given the set of parameters that you heard Kevin Adams talk about? I don't know how far out of that web we can really go. You know what I mean?
Exactly. I mean, I think that the names have been put out there that fit the parameters of what Kevin Adams was talking about. So, though, you know, there's not too many others. I mean, you could go with the guy Edmonton fired, Jay
Woodcroft.
Yeah. Thank you. I mean, he hasn't been named. I mean, he is a guy who's coached in the NHL. That's not somebody I would want to go with, but that's probably why he hasn't been named. But, you know, you could maybe find some guys like that. But for the parameters that they're talking about, I think the names that are out there are the basic guys.
Well, and they talked about pedigree too, right, Paul, or Adams did. So, you know, like if I don't know, if the list starts getting whittled down, like I don't think they'd ever circle back around to a first-time coach, because then they would kind of make it known to everyone that they failed in their search. I think there should be enough people out there that they could get that what they want, but like, what's the worst-case scenario for them in terms of the pedigree? Like, Todd McClellan? Like, do they go much lower? Boudreau? I know Boudreau's older. Like, it does feel like they did... he talked about pedigree. Like, I don't think he'll just hire a coach that's coached before. You mentioned Woodcroft, but hasn't really achieved anything.
Well, remember Todd McClellan, they wanted him, and he went to Los Angeles in the coaching search. So that is somebody the Sabres, not Kevin Adams, but that is somebody the Sabres wanted, couldn't get. So, you know, he's at least been connected to the Sabres before under different management. So I don't know if Terry Pegula liked him. I don't know if Terry Pegula was even in on an interview with him. He was interviewed. I'm not there. I don't know if Terry Pegula was or wasn't. So, that is a guy that the Sabres have been connected to in the past under other management.
Paul, I said to Joe yesterday, we haven't talked to you in a couple of days. So we got your sound from yesterday in the locker room the day before, and you were down there. You're talking to players. You write articles. I'm reading quotes. I'm listening to things. I was kind of stunned at, I'm not going to say throwing him under the bus. I don't think it went that far. Because they had a lot of really nice things to say about Don Granato, the players. But, man, there was a lot of, we need a coach who's going to hold us more accountable. We need a coach who's going to push us harder. However you want to phrase it, it was Tuck, it was Dahlin, it was Tage Thompson. These are your best players, your leaders, who said, oh, yeah, Don Granato, great guy, we love him. But we need a coach who's going to be harder on us, push, hold us accountable, have to have repercussions. I was a little surprised by that, to be quite honest with you. How about you?
Yeah, and where are the leaders in the locker room? Why does it have to be the coach? I mean, why aren't they holding each other accountable? And that's something that Tage Thompson addressed and said, we have to stop worrying about hurting each other's feelings because we're such good friends. He goes, we can still call each other out when people aren't playing well and be friends at the end of the day. Because, as he said, and I'll, you know, it's coming from a place of love, as he said, and we're just trying to make each other better. Okay, I guess that wasn't happening. I don't know why. I mean, where are the leaders in this room that that kind of stuff wasn't happening? Or they're all worried about hurting each other's feelings and that type of thing. Listening to Tage Thompson, you know I've been talking about. At first, I kind of thought Dylan Cousins would be a great captain for this team. And then Dahlin kind of won me over the last couple of years. I thought he became a better leader, much better leader, and more comfortable to become a much better leader. And I thought Don Granato definitely would want Rasmus Dahlin as their captain. I think Kevin Adams would too. And then I've listened to a lot of Tage Thompson in the last, I don't know how many weeks, and then locker cleanout, and especially locker cleanout, as he was talking, I thought to myself, this probably should be your next captain. Right here. This guy gets it. This guy seems to be willing, hey, you know, even if it's me, if I'm not playing well, I deserve to be benched. Now, when it actually happens, we'll see. if it actually happens, we'll see. But I don't think Tage Thompson was spouting out the company line or anything. I think he was very, very honest with his feelings. And he sounded like a leader to me. And he sounded like a guy that will, all right, we're going to start holding each other accountable in here. And if you don't like it, that's too bad, type of an attitude. So
can I just go back to my original point and question, though, about this, about the coach? Then it sounds to me then that even though he's saying that, well, then why are you blaming the coach for not doing that? Right, that's what was surprising to me. Well, like, we're blaming the coach for not holding us accountable.
That's like how I've had this wonder, Paul. I'm not even saying that they both need to be blamed, but aren't they saying the same thing about the player accountability there, about the coach accountability? But Granato is kind of becoming the target, and why isn't Kyle Okposo? Like, how is it different, I guess? Like, the way they're talking about both the coach level and the player level. If the player level is as bad as the coach level, well, then you've got to get better on the coach front, and you need to get better at the captain front.
Nobody's going to stand there and say names.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, if you were expecting to hear Kyle Poso's name...
No, I wasn't. And then they didn't say Granato's name either, though, right?
No, they didn't. So,
but they said they needed a coach who's going to do that.
That's what I'm just talking about.
Yeah, okay, right.
That where was the leadership in this room?
Yep.
You know, from captains to everybody else, there are veterans in there. Where were they? I mean, why did this thing with the fans become a thing? Never should have become a thing. You can't win a battle with your fans. You just can't. So yep. Stop. And why did veteran players in that locker room sign off on this? I don't get it. I didn't get it then, and I don't get it now. And I even if you're right, I'm not saying if you're right or wrong, whatever, but even if you're right, you can't win that battle, so just stop. And it was finally somebody put a stop to it, and you know, you move on. So when Tage Thompson was talking about it, he kept saying everybody. He's saying from the top to the coaches, to us, everybody needs to be more accountability in this room. And he was talking a lot about consequences. Well, the players can't bench people. Sure. When you're talking about consequences, that has to go to the coach.
All right, so that is one of the tasks then of Kevin Adams. Obviously, the coach comes first, and then they're going to have, you know, draft and free agency and all those kinds of things. The coach is going to have a say on that. Whoever they bring in, they're going to go through the roster. We all know that. But does that have to be? Is it, if it's priority A, is get the coach, the right coach in here, the guy who's going to push these buttons and know how to handle this tactfully and get in your face and be a leader, but also do it the right way these days, is task number two to find the best person in the locker room who plays on the ice to also do the, kind of the same thing?
They need to get some veteran people in there, but they also, I think the number one priority is get some players in there that are hard to play against. I think that, and a lot of those guys will wind up being veteran leaders if you get them here or can talk them into coming here. And so I think it would come hand in hand in some of those, but oh, absolutely. I think they need to go outside the organization, you know, find a 27-year-old centerman who's a really good hockey player, and maybe you got to give up one of your gems to do it.
Yeah.
All right, so be it. You got a bunch of them. So it's not like you only got one, and you got a bunch of them. So if you got to trade one or two of them to make this team better right now, you still got other ones that can also step in for you because they're all not going to be able to play.
Yeah. Do you think, well, I guess you just kind of said it, right? They have so many prospects, and I think for at least three of them, like, it's conceivable, like, hey, they're ready for the NHL now, but you don't have spots for them. So I guess maybe trade's more likely. I wonder, Paul, if we'll be talking free agency more than we ever have been. I don't know if they'll do it, but, like, will we be looking at, even if it's tough, right? Because the guy we're talking about, hard to play against, veteran leader.
He's a day two guy.
Yeah.
Probably.
Like, those guys usually are the guys you overpay, right?
Yeah, I'm more interested in trade.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got the assets to trade. I'm not real interested in getting caught up into a Jeff Skinner contract with somebody. You know, Kadri was somebody we talked about. But his contract is $7 million a year.
Yeah,
goes till he's 39 years old. Well, no, I'm not going to do that. I'd love to have the player. Absolutely would love to have the player. But in 1, 2, or 3 years, all of a sudden you're hung again.
Yeah. Can I ask, do you think they'll revisit Kane for this?
If he's available, yeah. But is he going to, like, he was willing to sign a 1-year deal now. Is he willing to sign a 1-year deal?
He was a point per game player. You might think he might want what, a 2-3 year deal at least now?
I would still do that, but I'm not going to give him 6 or 7 or something like that. But I would still give him 2 or 3. And Kevin Adams was very interested in him, and he was not interested in coming to Buffalo. He was interested in going to the Detroit Red Wings for several reasons. And now we'll see where his interests lie there, but I think absolutely Kevin Adams would be interested in him. And he would fit the bill of being able to play and produce in your top six. Now, he's hard to play against from the fact that you're going to back off the defense and that type of thing. But, you know, nobody's going to be scared of him that he's going to go into the corner and make it difficult for you and that type of a thing. But, you know, he's hard to play against in a different manner than what we're talking about, which would be just fine. That would fit just fine for this team. They need that too.
Paul Hamilton doesn't make predictions. Too bad. Paul, I'm giving you fake $1,000. Who are you putting on to come out of the East?
Who is going to come out of the East? Well, the Rangers are going to be a tough out. They really are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they get Washington. I would imagine that would be close to a sweep, I would think. Mm-hmm. You know, Florida, you never know what can happen. I mean, Bobrovsky, for the first time in his career, produced in the playoffs last year. And he wasn't even the starter. He came on in the middle of a series, and he couldn't get him out of the net. He was great. So if they get that kind of goaltending from Bobrovsky, they will be tough. I don't know. The Rangers still stick out in my mind, though.
Who's going to come out of the West, you think? Is this Edmonton's or bust?
Dallas.
Yeah, they had a great season.
They got screwed maybe by the matchups because I think they finished with the most points in the West. They've got to go Vegas, and then they might have to go Colorado in the first two rounds, but I think they might be the best team. Also,
they're number two in the league. I mean,
right.
Rangers number one, Dallas number two, Carolina three, and then Winnipeg number four. As you said, they could wind up after getting Vegas. Vegas is 14th, but they're still Vegas.
Right.
You know, it's not like they're not any good. They just had some problems in the regular season, especially with injuries. And then you could wind up playing two could play four if you wind up with the Winnipeg Jets next. So that's, as I said, they don't have a good path. But, Ottinger, I've seen him in the playoffs, and he's got to be a little better than he was in the regular season. But if he turns into the Ottinger I saw in the playoffs, he definitely could help carry that team.
I have no interest in watching a Rangers-Stars Stanley Cup. It might be two good teams, the best teams, and it's not on Sal Capaccio's list of
but
entertaining
think of the jerseys.
Hockey for me.
I mean,
it would be a good jersey match.
I mean, it would be a good jersey series. That's all we want. We want
that's
a good
true.
Series where it has good
like
jerseys.
That.
Right?
Oh, and Bettman will love his ratings too with the big markets.
Yeah, for sure. Paul, good stuff today, and we're going to be on top of you all weekend and throughout next week, of course, for the Sabres head coach search. Thanks a lot. Yep. Have a great weekend.
Looking forward to listening to Micah High too.
All right, thank you very much. Thanks. Micah at 11:30 yep. today, and we will have more after this timeout. Then we're going to get to a timeout. Micah at 11:30 today. I said 11:05 earlier. It's 11:30. Micah Hyde comes on WGR right here on the Extra Point Show.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, we have Micah Hyde coming up at 11:30 today. We'll talk about his charitable softball game, which is back in town at Salem Field on May 19th. Asked Josh Allen about that yesterday, Joe. He said his intention is to play again. It's always a cool event, and we'll get with Micah on that. We also don't know about Micah's status, you know, going forward. And I thought it was interesting yesterday, Brandon Bean did say that he has spoken with Micah recently, and he mentioned the softball game and coming back, and same thing with Sean McDermott. I still don't think it's going to happen. However, I'm more open to it now after listening to them and knowing that he's still out there as a free agent.
Yep, me too. And there's room to win a spot or a role, right? Like, it's, I think they're fine, Mike Edwards, Taylor Rapp, but are they so entrenched that if Hyde looked healthy and came back mm-hmm. on a small deal that he couldn't still be out on the field? Like, I think that is still doable for him if he came in.
I think the second part of that is more important even. I think it would have to be financially feasible for both sides. The mm-hmm. Bills certainly aren't going to pay a lot for Micah Hyde, and I don't know if Micah would think it's worth it for him, and understandably, at this point of his career and the injury and you know what he's meant to the Buffalo Bills. So we'll ask Micah Hyde about that. That's at 11:30. That's Eastern. And Mingo Mean Time. Joe, you know what Mingo Mean Time is?
No.
You ever hear
that? Mingo Mean Time?
Mingo Mean Time. 11:30 a.m. Mingo Mean Time. You've never heard of that?
No, never.
Have you ever watched... You will if you watch Flash Gordon, the movie.
I've never seen Flash Gordon, the movie.
You've never seen Flash Gordon, the movie.
No, I know. I think I know Flash Gordon from the movie Ted. Josh is
okay.
nodding. This is a millennial / Gen Z thing. We know Flash Gordon from the movie Ted, not from Flash Gordon.
Okay.
Yep.
Flash Gordon, the movie. Yes. Mingo Mean Time. Ming the Merciless. I was going to go for Halloween one year as Ming the Merciless. If in the break, I want you to look up Ming the Merciless, and you'll see exactly why I would go as Ming the Merciless for okay. Halloween. All right. But Mingo Mean Time, 11:30, also known as Eastern Time. That's what we'll have Micah Hyde. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back here on the Extra Point Show on WGR.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio and Joe DiBiase. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Joe's a great movie.
I know this.
Yes. The Flash Gordon music, the Flash Gordon theme. You know how sometimes you hear something or you see something, it leads you to something else, and then it goes, that's the rabbit hole, right? You go down the rabbit hole, mm-hmm. because it always, you have these tentacles. We do this all the time. We talk about, I went down the YouTube rabbit hole, because maybe you want to look up, you know, a Sabres playoff goal, but that leads you to another goal, and then a fight or a game, right? Yep. That happens all the time. And you're like, how did I get to this point? And pretty soon you're watching, like, Taylor Swift Shake It Off video for some reason. Who knows, right? It could be anything. Yeah. It leads you to whatever. By the way, speaking of Taylor Swift, I think the album's out today now.
The double album is out today.
The double album?
31 songs released today.
Wow.
No one knew it was a double album until she said it like at 11:55 last night, I guess.
She knows how to market and do this stuff, right? She's great at that. She's not only great as an entertainer, like she's really good at this kind of stuff too. She does it right. Okay. Well, this is what happened with me with Flash Gordon. I brought up Mingo Mean Time in the last break. You know, what's Mingo Mean Time? It's Flash Gordon, Ming the Merciless, Ming runs everything on the planet. Here's how this happened. This ties into football, I promise, okay? So, Joe Douglas, the Jets GM, is speaking to the Jets media today, right now, mm-hmm. within the past hour. And I'm reading quotes from Joe Douglas who says, he was asked about what the Packers have built at quarterback and how they had Brett Favre, then Aaron Rodgers, now Jordan Love. And here's his quote. I would love to be a quarterback factory like that, he said about the Jets. And that got me to thinking, Jets, quarterback. So in the movie, Flash Gordon, mm-hmm. he lands on this planet accidentally, and he doesn't know where he is, and they're like, they bring the prisoner to me. And he looks at Ming the Merciless, and like, who are you? And he says, Flash Gordon, quarterback, New York Jets. That's why I thought about it, because I heard Joe Douglas talk about the Jets being a quarterback factory. Because, I mean, other than Aaron Rodgers, I'm thinking, yeah, obviously, like, they aren't known for quarterbacks in their history. Like, yeah. Who is the best Jets quarterback you've ever remembered in your life? Besides Aaron Rodgers. If you want to even count him, he played four plays.
It's probably Chad Pennington?
Right.
Chad Pennington? Fits for a year. But otherwise, Chad Pennington, I think.
I mean, Sanchez took him to two AFC title games.
Yeah. But was he good? I mean, did anyone ever think he was good? Maybe Pennington is okay. Kind of the same thing. I don't know.
He had, hold on, 137. Mark Sanchez had 137 total touchdowns plus interceptions. Which one, what did he have of each? Take a guess. With the Jets. In his Jets career, okay. Mark Sanchez had a total of 137 total touchdowns and interceptions. What's the divide there, you think?
Okay, I'm going to guess he's like 136 was the number?
137.
137. I'm going to guess he had like 85 and 50.
68 touchdowns, 69 interceptions.
Oh, my. In that era? Not that it's the same as maybe right now, but...
Right.
That's like 70s numbers.
It's unbelievable. You go back to Pennington, who was actually where your cutoff, where your line there. He was very similar to the total number. 82 and 55 for Pennington.
Yeah.
The guy I remember growing up, their quarterback for me growing up was Richard Todd. He played in the early 80s. Mm-hmm. He was the quarterback when the Bills played them in the playoffs. Bills beat him in a wild card. That's the guy for me. And then Ken O'Brien came along. He was in the draft class with Jim Kelly.
Yeah.
And of course, Joe Namath is their all-time leading passer. But here's their all-time leading passers. Namath, O'Brien, Richard Todd, Chad Pennington, Vinny Testaverde, Mark Sanchez, Boomer Esiason, Sam Darnold.
Vinny Testaverde is going to be the first Jets quarterback I remember. That's when I'm first remembering football, like he's their quarterback. And I'm guessing he was very old by that point.
So it wasn't Flash Gordon?
It was not Flash Gordon.
Flash Gordon might have been the first quarterback I remember for the Jets because he said, Flash Gordon, quarterback, New York Jets. And by the way, Sam Jones is the actor. And did Sam Jones, he might actually, a little bit of football background. But anyway, that's how we got to Mingo Mean Time a little while ago. The Jets are not going to be drafting, I don't think, a quarterback in the first round. I guess they could be thinking about that to replace Aaron Rodgers at some point. They have the type of team, I think, though, that could be, you know, a real contender in the AFC East if Aaron Rodgers does play a fully healthy season. The Bills have obviously a lot of challenges around their own roster, but with the AFC East right now, you know, looking where it is, I think the Bills have to think about that as well. They have Josh Allen in place. How do you combat, you know, these particular opponents? One of the teams is the New York Jets. What the Jets have. How scared are you, I guess, is the question I have of the Jets in the AFC East if Aaron Rodgers does play a full season?
The if is big there. The if is big. If you told me right now he plays a full season, then I would be legitimately worried about them. But otherwise, I think mild because I just don't think it's going to happen. I don't think he's going to play a full season. I think their line, they've done some work on, but they've brought in a lot of guys that have their own injury questions. So because of that, and Rodgers being 40 years old, coming off a major injury, a torn Achilles, I just don't trust that he's going to be a guy that can stay on the field all year long. I don't think Brady's a good comparison for this. Brady is an anomaly to be that healthy, playing that long. And at the same time, what level of play are we going to get from Rodgers? Because it's been 3 years since the MVP level play that the Jets are searching for. Remember, we were already having some question about him and level of play last year because his final year in Green Bay, it was a little bit more pedestrian. It was more of a, I don't want to go all the way to game manager status, but he went from 257 yards and 268 yards in his two MVP years to 217. He went from over 4,000 yards to 3,600. He went from 48 and 37 touchdowns to 26. He went from 9 combined interceptions in the two MVP years to 12. Like, that final Green Bay year was a legitimate decline. And then he missed a full year with a torn Achilles with an offensive line in front of him that I think is at the best questionable. So I'm not one that thinks he's going to stay healthy all year, and I think if he does, I'm not expecting MVP-level Aaron Rodgers. So the furthest I'd go is mild. Mild concern about them pushing for the division.
They have the number 10 pick in the NFL draft. People I talk to cover the Jets, people I follow, it seems like they really want another pass catcher, maybe a tight end. Brock Bowers seems to be a very, very consensus pick to them that would make a lot of sense. D-line, too. They already have a really good defense in D-line, but maybe edge rusher. They did lose Bryce Huff, obviously, in free agency, so maybe that's a place they can go. If the Bills want to, you know, really make a move, and I mean like really make a move up to try and get a wide receiver, they like if Odunze starts to fall or someone like that, I think that's a team you might have to get ahead of. And Chicago's sitting there at number 9. The Bears have had, obviously, an interesting offseason. And they traded for Keenan Allen. They really wanted Gabe Davis. He wound up going to Jacksonville. So they've been doing work on wide receivers. I don't know how much the Keenan Allen move gets them away from that. Who else do they? Who else?
DJ Moore.
DJ Moore. Thank you. Yeah, DJ Moore. Yeah. They have there. They didn't bring somebody else in though, right?
No,
that
but
was
they.
It. He's from.
They did pay their tight end Cole Kmet too, a pretty sizable extension. So they have a lot invested in pass catchers already, and Keenan Allen's highly paid in addition to how many targets he demands. And also, the thing about the Bears, why I think 9 is realistic for them to move down, even if it's not to the Bills, to somebody, they've got 4 picks in the whole draft. And they've brought in a lot of guys on visits that are in between their draft picks, one of which that to me is the most noteworthy is Xavier Worthy. The Bears had Xavier Worthy in on a visit, and no one in the world thinks he's going to go 9 to the Bears. And their next pick after the 9th pick is 75th. So they're not getting him there. Like, they're doing their due diligence, but what's the due diligence for? It's for the scenario in which they would move down from the 9th pick to somewhere around where an Xavier Worthy would become available. So I think the worst-kept secret in the league right now is that the Bears will move down from that 9th pick because they want more than just 4 draft picks.
And they do have the top overall pick, so they clean that up. It's not like they would be void of a first-round pick, obviously. They could grab, they're going to grab Caleb Williams. It seemed like that's obviously a lock right now. So then they have number 9. I'm looking right now. Their next pick after that, 75 in the third round, and then 122. It would make sense. The Bills, if they want to do it, would have to go very high. They'd have to give up next year's number 1. We know that. That'd have to be the price to pay. Plus a lot more, by the way. I mean, that's a jump from 27 to 9. I mean, the 28 to 9, excuse me. The Chiefs went from 27 to 10 in the year that they took Patrick Mahomes when the Bills had the number 10 pick. So it's very rare you get that kind of move. When you hear Brandon Bean talk yesterday about, hey, teams in the top 10 aren't calling me, but, you know, there's no rule I can't call them. I just don't know if they'd take my call. Or he's basically saying, like, it would really, really be a Herculean move, and I don't think I can do it, and you shouldn't expect it. I also don't think it should be out of the question. It might take 2 moves, by the way. Who knows? Maybe before the draft, we hear something about the Bills moving up. This is what they did when they got Josh Allen. Maybe they move up into the teens, and then maybe draft night they move up there. I still wouldn't rule it out. Maybe there's some sort of deal to be made before you get that high, so you can get that high at the end of the day when you're on the clock or when the other team's on the clock.
Yeah. How do they get there, though? Right? Like, right. How do they get to the middle of the first round? The comparison we've always used, like, to kind of leapfrog, lily pad your way up to the top 10 is we'll get to the middle. And the time the Bills did that to get up to get Josh Allen, they used a roster player. They used Cordy Glenn to get up. And look around the roster and tell me who makes sense for that. I tossed out a name last week that I'm not a fan of doing this, but it's the only guy I could think of that maybe you could get up 15 spots to be able to do it. I just threw out Matt Milano for that. I don't need them to trade Matt Milano or want them to, but like that's the hardest you got to work for someone on the roster to get you up that high. And, you know, Dorian Williams. Last time they just threw a third linebacker in there, it went pretty well. But no one's expecting that. There's no one else on the roster that I think makes sense for it. And you don't have a third-round pick. So I like that in theory of let's get up to the teens and then again up into the top 10. But I just have a really hard time seeing how Bean pulls that off.
Okay, I know they love this guy. I'm not suggesting the Bills would want to do this, entertain this. But if you're talking about this, if we're going to go through this exercise, I'll give you a guy that probably would get you there and you could maybe do it.
Yeah.
Spencer Brown.
Does Spencer Brown, though, get you up, what, 10 picks?
He's a starting right tackle, had a good year last year. He's young. And from the Bills standpoint, they just signed Lyle Collins. And yesterday, Bean said they see him as a depth right tackle guy. They also have Ryan Vandermark, who they really like at tackle as well. Again, I'm not advocating the Bills doing it. I don't think they would do it. I don't know if it would get you that high. But Cordy Glenn, yes, left side, and he was a really good player. I get it. I don't know if it goes that high, but it might get you a few spots to get you in position.
Yeah, maybe a few. I would have a hard time seeing Brown getting them up that high. Like, Glenn
it would
was,
have to be in conjunction with other picks, I guess. It would have to be a part of a package is what I mean.
Right. No, that's right. Glenn was a six-year starter when the Bills traded him. Like, and he had some level of pedigree for a long time. Now, money-wise, I guess maybe it's not that different because you have to pay Spencer Brown, and Glenn would have already been under contract. I don't know. I think a lot of this is hard to see, right? Like, the only way I think they're going to leapfrog their way up in the middle is if they are willing to trade picks next year in addition to day three picks. And at that point, I think it's tough, right? Like, it's not all that likely. Like, I love the idea of the Julio Jones level trade. And it's probably my favorite idea still. Like, go offer the Bears your first next year and your second and a fifth of the day three pick and go get Odunze at number nine. But okay, let's say the Bears like that idea. You're Brandon Bean. You call the Bears at number nine, and they say, okay, we like this value. If I'm the Bears GM, what am I doing? I'm saying, all right, Brandon, I'll call you right back. And then I go call Pittsburgh and see if they'll offer me the same thing because I could pick eight spots higher in the 20s. And if they don't want to do it, then I call Seattle. I call other teams before 28. Will you match the Bills? Because I'd like to do this package, but I don't want to fall to 28. And then, you know, you're at the will of does anybody else between the Bears and the Bills want to do the same thing. Because if they say yes, then you're screwed and you can't get into the top 10.
Do you remember the Cordy Glenn trade? What exactly happened on that deal?
All I remember is that it was like a month before the draft.
They went from 21 to 12. They swapped.
Yeah.
They gave up Cordy Glenn, and they also swapped fifth and sixth rounders. So meaning the Bills went from a sixth round to a fifth rounder and moved there. They actually moved up in that scenario as well. The Bills went to 158 since he dropped to 187. But what it was a nine-pick move. They swapped first-rounders, and by doing that, the Bills also gave them Cordy Glenn in the package.
He was in the second year of a five-year, $60 million deal, which 8 years ago, like, isn't that near? He was franchise-tagged before that, right. Yeah, I don't see a Cordy Glenn on their roster. Again, unless The guy is Milano, but no one in the world wants to do that.
No, and I mean, look, Matt is a great player. He's not super young anymore, right? He's been in the league 7 years, and he's coming off a broken leg as well.
Yeah, what is he, 29, 30? 29.
I think he's 29 this year. He'll be 29 during this season.
Yep.
But yeah, it's a tough move to pull off, but I think that's the way You have to do it. Here's the issue I have, Joe, with why I get kind of tied up in this. I believe, of course, they want a wide receiver. I think they're going to draft a wide receiver, whether that's at 28, up or down. They're going to draft a wide receiver. I believe that. I think that they'd love to move up if they can. But there are really only a few guys that I think are worth moving up for. Because as much as I like Worthy or Mitchell or Leggett or McConkey or Javon Baker, Ricky Pearsall, name the names. You can get those guys at 28 and maybe even a lot of them in the second round or beyond, to be quite honest with you, right? Like, you don't have to trade up for anybody except for Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze, and probably Brian Thomas Jr. Even that actually is questionable if you have to trade up for him.
I'm starting to fall in love with that idea a little bit, going up and getting Thomas somewhere in the teens. Like, I'm starting to fall for him a little bit. Now, to be fair, I have a new favorite idea like every 3 days with this receiving class. So
that's all right.
Ask me again on Monday, and I might tell you that I'm back to Ladd McConkey is my favorite idea. But at the moment, like, the more I dive in on Thomas, the more I feel like I like it. Like, the biggest knock against him are the numbers. If you look at his yards per route run, if you look at his target share in that offense, you know, if you look at what they asked him to do, it's kind of limited. But the more I dig in on it, it's okay. Like, the yards per route run thing, it's some of those stats. It's not just that stat, but there's more. I feel like Thomas is almost getting misrepresented in some ways. His final year in college, that number's fine. It's actually decent. Like, it's good. It's not amazing, but it's the same as Justin Jefferson in his last year at LSU. It's way better than guys like DK Metcalf and even Adonai Mitchell, who have been criticized for the same type of number stuff. Thomas, I feel like he's being punished because he played as a freshman at LSU. Hmm. If you look at the guys from this draft class, use the top guy, Marvin Harrison Jr. In their freshman years, Brian Thomas and Marvin Harrison Jr., Thomas and Harrison both had yards per route run, other stuff, not good metrics at all. But Harrison, even though Harrison's were worse than Thomas, it didn't affect his total body of work because he only ran 100 routes as a freshman, whereas Thomas was approaching 300, like more than double the role, which just meant it kind of dragged his numbers down. So I almost feel like, at least with him, I don't think Mitchell, this is the same thing. With Thomas, the numbers argument I've seen against him, I feel like is lacking a little bit of context. I feel like he's being punished because he showed up as a 19-year-old and won a starting job at LSU.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I like Thomas as well. And the question I have is, like, do you need to go up to get him? Do you wait there? Because what is the drop off, right, from him to the next guy? The guy that I'm liking more and more as this process goes on is Xavier Worthy. And part of the reason I like him, and maybe it shouldn't be a reason, he's also a really good return man. And I think they've a void on their roster on that too, Joe. You don't draft him because of that, but it does kind of kill two birds with one stone, right? Which is, you draft him, you put him in your offense, he actually has a lot of the things that you're looking for, and oh, by the way, he can go return punts for you. And you have a dynamic playmaker with the ability to do that as well. You don't have a Deontay Hardy on the roster anymore. He signed with the Ravens. You have guys who can be kind of punt catchers and do the job, but nothing like that. And a lot of times, that's what you needed your rookie receiver to do anyway before he kind of fits into the offense and he learns everything.
Yeah. Yeah, Thomas, the skill set, I just think also fits exactly what they're talking about.
Agreed.
And what they want. I mean, they want explosive plays. I mean, this dude, it's one of those, if you read the breakdowns of him, he was amazing at going over the top. Like, the best success rate of all the guys in this class at the deep routes, the go route straight ahead. Like, 72% success rate on that route. He beats people over the top. But what I like about him more than Mitchell is that kind of quick twitch stuff. You go look at, even if just their highlight reel, let alone their film, you see Thomas make dudes miss in open field. Like, he'll get around you. And Mitchell doesn't have that extra layer of his game. And the way the Bills are talking, explosive plays, but also yak conversations, like, it just feels like Thomas kind of fits all of the skill sets that they would be looking for.
All right, we're going to take a timeout. Micah Hyde after this here on the Extra Point Show on WGR.
Q Jones had just 129 yards rushing this season. Jones, pump. Rifle downfield. Intercepted. Sliding catch made by Hyde for the pick. Micah Hyde, second team All-Pro, and what a play.
No doubt about it, one of the signature plays of Micah Hyde's illustrious career, and especially here in Buffalo in the perfect game, the playoff game against the Patriots just a few years ago. And the safety joins us on the West Her Hotline right now. Micah, it is awesome to talk to you. It's Sal and Joe here in Buffalo. Thanks for joining us today.
What's up, Joe, man? How you guys doing?
Good.
Doing great,
good.
Man. Doing great. Is that when you think back of moments, and I know it's not about individual moments or accolades, but we all have them, right? I mean, that pick right there off Mac Jones, is that one of the first that comes to mind for you?
Yeah, for sure. You know, throughout all the plays I've made in my career, that was definitely that top playoff. Interceptions are always worth double. We say that a lot. And then just, you know, kind of the way that season played out and how that New England game early in the season went, and then getting a shot at them in the playoffs. Just the way that whole thing played out, that's definitely one of my favorite plays.
Sal, he did score a spinning touchdown.
I know.
So that did happen.
You know what's funny? We debated playing that highlight or the one against the Dolphins on the kick return. That's another one, man. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, to this day, I just thank the guys in front of me for holding those blocks so I can just go up and get the ball and trusting them that they were going to make their blocks. So I wasn't going to get touched, so. Kudos to them and just was able to make an amazing play.
Hey, Micah, I know, Bills fans would love to see you making more plays in a Bills uniform going forward. And we're here to talk about the softball game. It's coming up on May 19th. We're going to do that in a minute. But if you can just give us an update on where things stand with you. We talked with Brandon Bean yesterday and Sean McDermott. Yeah. Brandon said he has been in contact with you, but he's not quite sure exactly what your decision and where you are with everything. And then everything will flow from there. So can you give fans an update on where you are right now as far as your career and, playing in the future?
Yeah. I talked to Bean the other day. It was a good FaceTime. You know, maybe last as soon as he answered, Josh was on the FaceTime, and we were just able to laugh and just joke around for a second. But we just talked about life. It was nothing really too deep into football. You know, he asked me how I was feeling and everything, and I said I was feeling great. You know, I wake up every morning. I actually just got done. It's 8:30 here on the West Coast, so I just got done with a workout, and I continue to do that. I enjoy working out, so. I let him know that and saying, I'm always going to be in shape, but as far as my decision to continue to play, I just don't know yet. I feel like if I was, a young guy, single, out there just trying to put a little money in my pocket, obviously the decision would be a little bit easier, but, I have a family that I got to look out for. And, this is kind of a big decision to get back to move. Back to Buffalo and doing all that type of stuff with the family, bringing the family in along and school and, just all that type of stuff. So, you're just trying to fill it out, just going, one day at a time. And, if training camp comes or the season comes and there's an opportunity for me to put on the Bills uniform, that'd be awesome. But at the same time, I knew that last season was going to be a difficult season physically. And in return, the physical side, just having the stingers and stuff like that kind of made it a little harder on me mentally, which I wasn't really, I didn't think would be the issue, but it kind of was. So, just going a day at a time. I'm sorry that this is a long, drawn out response that really just comes down to, I don't know. I hate to say that, but that's what it is. I don't want to cheat the game. I understand that. There's a lot of people involved in my decision, whether if it's like I just mentioned my family or even the Bills organization and Sean and the players on the team and stuff like that. There's a numbers game and all that that goes involved with my decision. So I'm trying to make the most informed decision possible and that's where I'm at, taking a day at a time.
Am I right though, hearing as you lay that all out, that it might be more about it's more of a mental decision for you as opposed to you still feel like you could play if you get to the right mental spot?
Look, man, the competitor in me, I'm always going to feel like I can go out there and spin it a little bit. Like, I already know, like, I'm a very competitive person. I know that I can still play at a high level, yes. But like I said, physically, you know, last year took a toll on me for sure. I just I knew it would be tough coming back from a neck injury. And those stingers, man, they started to get a little they started to get to the point where I didn't want to feel those anymore. Let's just put it that way. So it was a long season for me, and I'm trying to process, still kind of, I guess, process that, but move on and get myself in the mindset to possibly play again. But, you know, if that time doesn't come, then, you know, it is what it is.
Mike, is it just Buffalo if you decide to do it? Or would you be open to going somewhere else if you decide you want to play, but, you know, things don't work out numbers-wise and roster-wise with the Bills?
Listen, I'm always going to be a Buffalo Bill. I would love, if there ever was a time for me to, you know, put the pads back on, then I would for sure want it to be in Buffalo. You know, I don't see myself putting any pads on anywhere else, moving my family to a new city and starting all over. Like, that sounds, to be honest, that sounds like a lot, especially this late in my career and how old my kids are and my, you know, having my wife do all that. You know, I'm just trying to look out for my family in general. So, yeah, I feel like if anything, it'd be in Buffalo, and you know, maybe one day that might happen.
There's been a little bit of an emotional challenge, I know, for fans this summer and spring, really, Micah, about all the changes. Trey, Jordan Poyer, obviously Stephon Diggs trade happening recently, Gabe Davis. I don't need to list the names, but is it sad for you to look at all the changes and know that, like, it's kind of the end of an era?
It's two things, I guess. One thing, yeah, it could be a little sad, just because, you know, there's a lot of guys that had their hand in you know, changing this organization for the better. You know, going in there every day, working their asses off and trying to win a Super Bowl, and not just trying to win a Super Bowl, but, you know, being good people, being good dudes in the locker room and you know, having those awesome moments after wins. And
oh, did we lose Micah? Lost me.
Nope, we didn't lose you, Sal. I think he just cut off for a second.
Okay, that's good. I think we lost Micah. We're gonna get him back. Micah Hyde joining us here on the Western Hotline. We'll grab Micah again. We have to talk about the softball game. That's what we want to talk about. And you know, but interesting, he says right there, he really only wants to play in Buffalo. Now, does that mean he necessarily would totally close the door to anywhere else? Probably doubtful. But we have Micah Hyde back on the Western Hotline right now. I think, Josh, I think we're getting Micah back. Sorry,
yeah,
Micah.
We're almost got you. Now we got
there you go. All right. There you go. Sorry about that, Micah. We cut off on it. That was our probably on our end. But go ahead. Joe was asking you about the emotions of the changes in the locker room.
Yeah. I was just saying the first part being, yeah, it's a little sad. And I'm just seeing all the guys put in the hard work. And the second part was just, but it is a part of the business. You know, I've been in the league long enough to know that you gotta, you know, kind of get young and, you know, start a little fresh throughout the season or beginning of the season. So, yeah, it's just part of the business.
Okay, last one about the changes, and then we'll get to the softball game, I promise. You were here in 2017. You were one of the first guys to kind of change the culture of the locker room. Obviously, new leaders have to be born. You've seen a lot of these guys come up. You've seen the corners come under you and the safeties who are, you know, coming into that role. What's that like to have to kind of step into that new leadership role of a new iteration of the Bills, I guess?
Yeah, I think it's just all about being yourself. Just be yourself, and, you know, there's a ton of – to get to the level of NFL, you know, you got to be some type of leader in some type of sense. You know, you've been a captain on your high school team or college team or whatever it may be. And, you know, I think as long as you be yourself, just go out there every single day and work your ass off. And then at the end of the day, just love on one another, trust one another. No matter what, the leaders are going to, you know, they're going to push forward. And, you know, there's already some guys in that locker room that are going to lead that team. And, you know, that's the least of my worries. But, you know, to have a team like we had the last couple of years, I guess, with a bunch of veteran leadership, it'd be good to get some fresh faces in front of the team and some new voices and some different perspective, and it'll be good.
Well, we appreciate all of your time on that. Let's talk about what's happening May 19th. Because you've been such a leader, it doesn't matter that you're not on the Buffalo Bills roster right now, as you pointed out on social media. The softball game is still on, and we're looking forward to a fantastic game. It's going to be brought to you by Northtown Automotive, which, by the way, is also a sponsor here on the Extra Point Show on WGR. Tell us a little bit about, you know, putting this together and what it's meant to you over the years for your Imagine for Youth Foundation.
Yeah, Sal, you know firsthand, man. You've been in attendance running the mic for – for all those years. And I mean, it's an awesome event, man. It was something that we were just, you know, towards the end of the season, we're like, you know, are we gonna be back in Buffalo? Do we keep the softball game? And ultimately, through, you know, the whole foundation, my whole family, everybody was like, yes, like we have to throw this game because it's so important to all of us. And we do so much. It's so important to the community. We're able to give back in so many cool ways. Whether if it's a children's hospital, whether it's Boys and Girls Club, whether it's, you know, back to school drives, backpacks, shoes, all types of things that we do in the community of Buffalo. So we knew we had to put it on. We're super excited for it. Magic for Youth, Lammy Sports, Northtown stepping up again. It's always going to be big. The guys, you know, we got some cool gifts set up for them, you know, because, you know, these guys are working their asses off during the week, and on the weekend they have time off, and, you know, we're asking them to come play in a charity softball game. So they're dedicating their time to this game. And so, you know, we're going to also donate some of the proceeds to the Guys Foundation, you know, the players on the team.
That's awesome.
To give back to them, to, you know, basically say thank you for participating in this game. So, yeah, man, we're super excited, man. I can't wait to get back to Buffalo and get out there and, you know, mess around and joke around with the guys. And it really is a cool family event for not just the community, but for also the players and their families. You know, we want all the guys on the team to bring their wives, bring their girlfriends, bring their kids, bring their families, come out for hopefully a nice day on Sunday afternoon and in May, and just enjoy the laugh and enjoy being together.
And how about the tailgate? That was a big deal last year, and it's going to be again this year. You guys are actually going to make it even bigger this year. In fact, I've been told closing down Swan Street in front of the stadium to make a big block party event. Michael, what's that about?
Yeah, you know, that's the Bills Mafia way, right? Like you gotta find a way to take it next level for Bills Mafia. And last year we had that tailgate experience. We didn't really know how it was going to go. And we heard nothing but great feedback. So now we're just going to shut down the street. Everybody come, hang out a couple hours early before the game, and bring your kids. There's a whole bunch of stuff to do, a ton of stuff. I'm sure my kids will be out there having fun, running around. And, yeah, man, it's just going to be a great day at the ballpark.
In terms of tickets, they usually will sell out, right? Like, so I know we got a month here, but maybe would there be advice to fans, like, get on this quick?
Yes, get on it now. The tickets, yeah, the last year have sold out. Last year they sold out. The year before was pretty close to selling out. So I know they try to do day of, but, you know, that might be limited. So I would say hop on now and try to get some tickets. And they're all different range of prices. We tried to make it so that obviously anybody in the community is able to attend. I would definitely recommend getting your tickets now.
Instagram, it's at Hyde Charity Softball. So everybody who's listening on Instagram, at Hyde Charity Softball, that's where you can get your tickets. And yeah, for sure. It is a fantastic day. And Micah, just from a personal standpoint, you said it in the outset. I've been there with you for the last few years. Buddy, I just appreciate you, you know, and your group allowing me to be a part of this in the MC. I have such a great time with it every year. My family comes. We have a great time with it. So you and your lovely wife, Amanda, your family, got to know your dad a little bit over the years. So thank you for, you know, allowing me to be a part of it, because it's a special event here in the city of Buffalo, especially for a guy here like me who grew up here.
No, and I mean, we know how much, you know, you just mentioned how much you appreciate. We know how much the community appreciates. But I think every single year it's been, you know, and just an amazing opportunity for, you know, my family, Amanda and I, and our kids and our family, and the Magic Fuse, which is also our family. And, you know, Lammy Sports, who we're pretty close with throughout the years, who we got pretty close with throughout the years, that, you know, we're able just to put this event on for the community, just to show how much we love the city of Buffalo and how much they have done for us. You know, I became a man there. We got married there. We had kids. So it's a very special place, and we want everybody in that community to know that. And this, you know, this is just an event that we could put on to show our love to the community.
Did you have something to do with when you go to the ticket page and scroll right below buy now? There's a nice little reminder there that the defense has won all three games.
You know what? You know what's funny is I haven't seen that yet. I'm gonna be honest with you. I haven't seen that yet. You know, the offense was a little hot last year, saying it was rigged. You know, maybe I'll play a little more neutral because, you know, I'm not necessarily on the team right now. It is my charity softball game. You know, I'm going to be honest with you guys, it kind of bothered me a little bit that it's the Micah Hyde charity softball game. I wanted to make, like, you know, the Buffalo charity softball game, but since everybody knows it as my name, then I was like, okay, I guess I guess we can keep it still. It's kind of like, you know, makes me feel a little, I don't know, conceited in a sense. No. I don't know. But, yeah, the defense is up 3-0. I'm sure the offense is going to say that was rigged. And, you know, defense is probably going to win again this year.
And of course, you said it right there, and I understand where you're coming from, but you guys do a lot for the other players, donating funds to participating players' foundations. It is presented by Northtown Auto. Micah Hyde on the Western Hotline, but also, Micah, you are a very big traveler, and I haven't heard yet, because we usually see you around this time of year. Are you and Amanda going anywhere? Have you gone anywhere? What have you done for vacation this year?
We got back out to San Diego, and, you know, the weather has been you know, I'm talking about San Diego. I'm sorry, guys. I call this champagne problems. You know, I know how Buffalo is not always the best weather, but it's been a little rainy out here. So we've kind of just hunkered down in the house, and, you know, we'll probably head to maybe to Mexico a few times, maybe get the kids to Hawaii. But other than that, we're just, you know, chilling as a family and enjoying our time together, and watching the kids just sprout like weeds, man, growing too fast. And it's, and that's, yeah, that's what's sad. That's what's sad, man. Seeing our kids grow just way too fast.
It happens. I know. I'm in the same boat. Yeah, it's great, but also it kind of sucks too, right? You'd like to keep them the same age and the same size. Hey, before I let you go, real quick, NFL owners meetings, the hip drop tackle. I'm curious of your thoughts on that. You've always been a guy who's spoken about, you know, the you know, from a player's perspective here in this league, and what you think. There's a big challenge coming up for the defensive players.
Yeah, Sal, this is this is ridiculous, to be honest. You can't, you know, I'm 200 pounds at my heaviest. You know, mostly on game days, I'm probably at 196. I'm trying to tackle, you know, these tight ends that are 260 pounds that can run 4.3s now and can jump out the gym and, you know, all this type of stuff. And now you're asking me to you know, not do the hip drop and kind of prepare myself how to tackle these guys. Like, it's impossible. The game is way too fast. The game is way too violent. Like, you can't think or else you're going to get hurt. And so that decision that was made is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And so, you know, it's already hard enough to play defense in this league. You can't touch the receivers when they're in the routes, balls in the air. It seems like, you know, it's offensive pass interference on almost every single play. So it's already very difficult. And I'm biased because I'm speaking defensively. And so now you're putting stuff like this out there for guys, and it's making the game, you know, incredibly hard. I missed the 9-6 final score. I know the NFL doesn't like that. they want the high points and all the touchdowns and all that type of stuff. But, you know, I feel like one day it has to start to slowly move back to that. It has to, you know, the NBA can't be a foul on every single play. The NFL can't be a pass interference on every single play. It's just getting a little soft out there, Sal. That's all I got to say.
Micah, thank you so much for your time today. We appreciate it. We're going to look forward to that softball game on May 19th. I want to remind everybody again, Hyde Charity Softball on Instagram. Not only were ticket information there, but also confirmed players. I asked Josh yesterday about coming back, about trying to win back that home run title that he lost last year. He said he's planning on doing that. So there's going to be some fabulous players and fabulous people there. And thank you very much for being a part of it and bringing it back to Buffalo, buddy.
Of course, Tom. I appreciate you guys having me. Take care. We'll see you soon.
All right, thank you very much. That is Micah Hyde, the charity softball game on May 19th here in Buffalo, New York. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll wrap things up here on a Friday on the Extra Point Show. All right, we got to go. Joe, have a great weekend, buddy. We're going to talk next week, and it's going to be all about the draft most of the week. By the way, real quickly, Joe, Monday night, Matt Bovey and I are interviewing Mike North on our schedule pod.
Let's go. All right, can't wait. And I'll be going to my first ever concert at the stadium tomorrow.
Oh,
Luke Combs.
Dress warm. It's going to be a little cold, but you know what? You'll have a great time. You're going to have a great time at Luke Combs. That's coming up this weekend. Enjoy your weekend, everybody. Thank you so much to Micah Hyde for joining us a little while ago, and of course, Paul Hamilton earlier today as well. We'll talk to you on Monday on the Extra Point Show. Sabres Live up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh.